for the whole thing.
But now, well, explain why that would be. I mean, if there were a bookstore or something.
No, actually, what had nothing to do with the bookstore?
Nothing to do with the bookstore.
The bookstore had closed.
Okay, well, first talk about how you knew Nora, then talk about the bookstore.
Okay. Well, the bookstore had closed, and I sincerely didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing with my life. And I was sort of still fishing around for a lot of things. And I started messing around with meetup.com.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
Mm.
Well, starting to see, I had an interest in science fiction. And there was a science fiction group there, but the person who was running it really wasn't meeting. And there was this girl from Boston who said she's coming and she'll take over the group and we'll meet when she gets here. And we waited and waited and waited. And she said, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. And this girl finally arrived. And we started meeting in a tea shop. Gosh, where is that? It's the Village or someplace that, down by NYU. And sometimes it would just be the two of us, and sometimes it would be three or four of us. And the group started to grow a little bit. We had some weird characters that showed up sometimes. And
weird characters in the science
fiction? I know, it's just,
what are the odds?
What are the odds? But I really liked her, and we sort of, we didn't really know each other that well, but we did meet. Sometimes, it would just be the two of us. We'd have tea or something. And her name was Nora.
Mm.
And I actually had a trouble connecting this N.K. Jemisin to this. I didn't know who she was. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's the girl I used to hang out with. And so I've known Nora before she was
N.K.
N.K.
Yes. And people, we have to plug it. Mm. And one volume is now available, the
yes.
Inheritance Trilogy with a new novella.
Yes.
So like you've got all three books, so you think you've got the whole thing, Broken Kingdom and this and that. Mm. No, sorry, you got to buy this one too.
Yeah, I think that just came out like a few days ago or something.
Yes, that's
like
correct.
That's correct.
That's why she was on the show last week.
Yeah.
And we had to record that. Because the weather was lousy.
Mm.
So she came over to Barwell Studios, and we recorded there. And I literally mailed the show into WBAI. And thanks, Reggie and Max, by the way, for getting it on the air.
Cool.
The bookstore.
The bookstore. Wow. It's about 10 years ago now, I think. I got this crazy idea to start a bookstore. I had a little money from an IPO that I cashed in because I used to be a software engineer back in the days when that sort of thing could happen. And I decided that I wanted to open up a community bookstore. I think about it now and I'm like, oh my God, what the hell was I thinking? But it was a small place, but it was vibrant. It was full of a lot of great energy.
Yeah.
Jeff was my, he was my partner then. He's my husband now. I guess still
so
my partner.
So partner and husband.
Yeah. we did the book selection, and we had a little cafe in the back and a little garden. And, we worked really hard on that thing. And it was really an act of love.
And it was really just a friendly, open kind of a place, even though it was a bookstore that concentrated in many ways on writers of color and all that. It was for everybody to come to, and everybody was welcome. And the moment you set foot in that door, you knew you were welcome.
I tried to make it
that way. It was a great vibe.
And we had customers from all over, literally all over the world. I was really shocked one day when this woman who barely spoke English handed me a magazine that had a picture of my storefront, and it was all in Japanese. And she was Japanese herself, and she's like, I came here because I read about you in this magazine.
Oh, my God.
And, things like that would happen. We just had all kinds of people
You had events.
We had events. We had readings.
That's right.
We had children's story time readings.
I came for the readings as opposed to the children's story time.
Oh, the first reader on the first day that we opened, because we planned that entire week to have like a reading a night to just try to really launch the store. And the first reader we ever had was Cherie. And a group of her.
And we have to mention, since we'll mention it next week, that Cherie Renee Thomas is editor of one of the most important landmark anthologies ever in the history of science fiction, Dark Matters, out in ebook format this week.
Yes, yes, that's right, that's right, that's right. Yeah. Well, she. We
just,
were
just
her
have
first,
to tell people.
Yes, yeah, we were her first reading, and she was our first reading.
Oh, cool!
So,
and she became a curator of the New York Review of Science Fiction Readings for two years.
Yeah, you told me that.
That's right.
Which is sort of very cool.
I think so.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
And an on and off co-host of this radio program.
Wow, she's done a lot of stuff. I mean, it was. I had no idea when the book was presented to me. Because I had never heard of such a thing, and honestly, I didn't. I had only maybe had heard of, I did hear of Octavia Butler. I knew of Sam Delaney, but I really had not heard of other science fiction.
That's the whole point.
Writers,
I mean,
of color.
I consider myself a professional collector of knowledge about science fiction, and I could probably name seven.
Hmm.
And I think that was pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's very good.
You know, and I could name people that, I could name one or two people that Cherie didn't know.
Mm.
That was a writer named Jesse Miller, who wrote a really interesting short story in Analog in the 70s about Harlem being a walled city.
Wow.
Keeping itself separate, just having seceded from New York City. It was called Pigeon City. It was a really good, really good novella. I don't know what happened to this writer since. I think he's continued writing, but not SF.
Mm-hmm. Well, that can happen.
I mean, Octavia had already been on the show when that book came out, and Chip was my first boss here at WBAI, or actually... He was, I worked for him. He worked for Baird Searles, who's drama and literature director. Mm-hmm. And Chip was doing the Star Pit here. And I was the most important person on that production because who's going to fetch the coffee?
Of course. Got to get somebody to do
that. I was the gopher. I was 13.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah. Well, at the time, you know, when I don't think I even got a galley of the book. I just heard about it and it sounded sort of intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
And the schedule just worked out that she would be the first one. She showed up with, like, four of the other readers. I can't even... I think Amma Patterson was one of them, and Linda Addison.
I met Amma through Cherie. I met Terrence Taylor, who's now a close friend and frequent guest on this program, through
Terrence.
Cherie.
Yeah, I mean, it was an interesting thing to see happen, and it just sort of stayed in the back of my mind. I didn't really... I mean, I've always had an interest in science fiction, and I never really thought of myself as a writer at all. But I kept going with the store, and I kind of probably physically hurt myself doing the store several times, you know, with my knees, you know, lifting boxes, and just the strain and the stress of that time, because there was so much strangeness going on.
Mm-hmm. I was a stock boy at the science fiction shop in the very early 70s.
It's not a joke.
It's,
you know, the whole thing. And plus running the cafe and doing all the, you know, the event planning and everything kind of really came down to me. Jeff did a lot of work. He did a lot of the marketing, which he just sort of got pulled in more and more as the store went on. And I really, you know, started to lean on him a lot for, you know, for some of the, you know, I just couldn't get
this
done.
This is where? Flatbush?
This was on Fulton.
Fulton
okay. In Fort Greene.
Okay.
And, there was a lot of changes happening around that area around the time. The recession, nobody really wanted to call it a recession, but it sure was.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
You know, it was going on and off. Like, you kept thinking that maybe it wasn't happening, but it was. And a lot of my customers lost their jobs. I just watched them leave one by one. I mean, they would come by and say goodbye to me, say, sorry, I'm leaving. And that was before 9/11.
Yeah.
Even that summer was really when people started losing.
Yeah, this
their
wasn't
work.
The 2008 Bush recession. This was
before
the
previous
that. One, yeah.
And 9/11, actually, things sort of perked up after 9/11, believe it or not, because, you know, money kind of was funneling back into the city because...
Also, there's an old quote, I think it's Voltaire, in times of trouble, the arts flourish.
Yeah. I mean, it was a shocking time. I think everybody was pretty numb. I know I was numb. You know, I put on an event a few days after 9/11... where I had members of the Muslim community speak to the community. Mm-hmm. One of them at the time, I think Conrad Muhammad was still in the Nation of Islam, I believe, at the time. He's now since, I believe, converted back to Christianity. But he spoke, and a representative of a mosque around the corner spoke. And it was this moment of... a lot of people just showed up, and I think they just need